Going to be reading from John 3, 1 through 21. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I had told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the Lord has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." I'm going to talk this morning a little bit about being born again. And I think it's interesting to note that Nicodemus came to Jesus at night under the cover of darkness. And you can kind of understand in a way, like it says, he was the leader of the Jews, and if the others had found out that he'd come to talk to Jesus, he'd have probably been in a lot of trouble. But one thing, did you notice? It says, "We know that you are a teacher from God." We. That kind of tells you that the Jewish leaders knew who he was. But they didn't want to admit that because it would have rained on their little parade. So Nicodemus is asking Jesus about salvation. And Jesus tells him that you have to be born again. Well, Nicodemus was thinking from earthly terms, kind of like we do sometimes. Jesus was speaking about spiritual terms. And when he talks about water in the Spirit, I know most people equate the water with the baptism. I kind of look at that differently. Maybe I'm a little odd. But I look at the water as being your natural birth. When a baby is born, the woman's water breaks first and the baby is born from water. But when you are born again, when you accept Christ, you are born of the Spirit. Two different things. And we have to consider this born again. We see a lot of people, and I know everybody probably knows somebody who is this born again Christian. But have they really changed their lives? You can't be born again and continue to live like you're living. Because when you're born, you become a new person. When a baby is born, that is a new person. And when a Christian is born, that is a new person. Again, Jesus tells us that we may not understand the Spirit. We hear the wind, but we don't know where it goes or where it's coming from. So spiritual rebirth may be a bit of a mystery. But you have to have that spiritual rebirth. You have to be born again to truly be a Christian, to truly believe in Christ. Sometimes it's hard for us to understand all these things about Christianity and Christ. But if we study and we pray about it, God will explain those things. There's a young woman who is working her way through college by cleaning the dorm rooms of some of the other students. But she got a little frustrated because these other students weren't real big on thank yous and pleases and being polite to her. She'd had enough of it one day and decided she was going to quit. But before she did that, she went to talk to one of her professors. She says, "I've been taking all of these philosophy courses. We talk about what's true, what's important, what's good. Well, how do you teach people to be good?" The answer to that question, said her professor, "according to the Bible, is not education, but conversion. No one can truly learn to be good, for only God is perfectly good. The light of true goodness dawns in the heart only when God shines there." Think about that. Wouldn't the world be great if all of us had the heart of God and we lived godly lives? This would be an amazing world if we all shined the light from God. And we talked about that last Sunday. So when you're born again and become a new person, you are literally a new person. That spiritual change in your life is something that most people, they really can't explain to you the feeling they had when that happened. It's a personal thing. It's an emotional thing. But you change. There's a pastor, John Buchanan, a Presbyterian pastor, who pastored for 48 years. When he finally retired, he wrote some articles and different things. And in this one article, he talks about this young child that he was baptizing. And according to the Presbyterian tradition, he put his hand on the child's head and said, "You are a child of God, sealed by the Spirit in your baptism, and you belong to Jesus Christ forever." This young child looked up and said, "Uh-oh." Well, the congregation got a little chuckle out of it. And Pastor Buchanan says that, you know, that was really an appropriate response. He says it's a stunning theological affirmation from the mouth of a child. The "uh-oh" was a recognition that everything had changed, that this boy would never be the same again. And that's how we are when we become Christians. We are never the same again. It's an "uh-oh" moment. Too many people in society today are all in favor of progress and having good things happen, but they don't want the change that goes along with it. You have to change when you become born again. We have to change our focus when we're born again from an inward focus, this me generation, to an outward focus towards trying to help others. And if you think about the physical birth, when a baby is born, it's all about them. It's a me thing. They come out, they're grasping and clutching at anything they can get a hold of. When the baby needs something, you drop whatever you're doing and tend to that baby. Whether you're watching your favorite program on TV or reading the newspaper or got this chore that you need to get done, you drop what you're doing and you either go feed the baby or change the baby or whatever they need. It's a me thing. It's a self-centered kind of life when you're first born. But as you mature and grow and become spiritually born, you move away from that self-centeredness to accommodate others, to help others and be more neighborly, to help those that you see in need, to do those spiritually good things. Focus on others. Oftentimes you hear people make the comment about a young boy, "Well, he looks exactly like his father." Or the young girl, "Well, she has her mother's eyes." But do you ever hear anybody say that they have the air of being like God the Father? Amy Grant did a song here a few years ago called "She Has Her Father's Eyes." And that's exactly what it's talking about. It's talking about the Heavenly Father. It's a big transformation when you're born again. We change our lives. We change our system of values. Those things that we think of, what's important, what's not important. We learn those values in life from our families, from our churches, from teachers, and from our friends. It's about the environment that we are in. That's where we learn our values. And if you get into the wrong peer group, those values are usually wrong. So you have to try to get into the proper setting, the proper environment. Church is a great place because you're with Christian people. So you get good values. In today's society, we seem to worry too much about where you live, how big a house you've got, what kind of a car you drive, how you dress, and none of that is important. Spiritually, God sees you inside. He doesn't care if you live in a big house on a hill or drive a big fancy car or have a the best suits or dresses that you can find. He doesn't care about any of that. But society seems to be bent on that's the way things are. Watch TV ads. They'll convince you of that, or they try to. Now, The Simpsons Show is not something that I would consider being good sermon stuff, but there was one particular Simpsons show where Homer's told by his doctor he only has a few days to live. Well, this is understandably frightening. And because it's so frightening to him, he starts making this list of things he wants to do before he actually dies. Things like ride in a blimp, tell off his boss, make amends with the neighbor who he's always borrowing things from but never takes them back, to spend quality time with his son, or to sit down and listen to his daughter play the saxophone instead of telling her to knock off that racket. It was a big shift in his values because he saw the end. But we shouldn't have to be in that kind of a position to change our values. We should be spending that quality time with our sons and daughters and grandsons and granddaughters. It's a great value thing for us to do that. And when we experience this new birth, being born again, we enter a new family, your church family, the Christian family. Just like in the same way that when you're physically born, you become part of a family, when you are spiritually born, you become part of a family. It's a different family, but it's a family nonetheless. We are all brothers and sisters with one another. There's a case in Matthew and in Mark where it talks about Jesus' mother and brother coming to get him because he was in this crowd of people and they came to get him. And somebody within the crowd said, well, your mother and your brother are outside. They want you. And Jesus' response was, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. We are all related through our spiritual growth, through being born again spiritually. It's all new. Paul puts it this way, there is neither Jew or Gentile, nor slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. You become a part of Jesus. When you are born again and saved, you become a part and parcel of Jesus. There's a sheriff and his wife that lived above the jail, Mr. and Mrs. Keyes. One day, Mrs. Keyes went downstairs. She wanted to see her husband. And when she started back up the stairs to their apartment above the jail, she heard some whimpering and crying. So she turned around and went to seek it out. And the jail cells were kind of dark. But as her eyes adjusted, she noticed this little boy crouched down in the corner, scared and crying. So she asked him, she said, what are you doing in a jail cell? He said, well, in a fit of rage, he'd shot a 12-year-old girl and he'd been arrested for murder. And she says, well, what about your family? There's nobody here with you to comfort you. What about your family? He says, I ain't got none. So within an hour or two, Mrs. Keyes, the sheriff's wife, convinced a local judge to let him come upstairs and she would watch him. Well, within a few days, she had turned this scared little boy into a well-dressed, smiling boy. That apartment above the jail soon became his home. At the trial, he was sentenced to reform school. So afterwards, he asked Mrs. Keyes, he says, can I come back here when I get done? She said, but son, you will want to go out on your own. Besides, you wouldn't want to live over a jail. And the young boy looked at her and said, it ain't jail, it's home. She gathered up the boy in her arms and said, oh, I needed a son. That boy had become her son because she had compassion for that boy. She changed that boy's life and he became her son. When we are born again, we become a new human being. We have an outward focus instead of an inward focus. We have a new set of values. We don't worry about the trivial things anymore. We have a new family. We think more about how things would affect others than ourselves. There's an ice skater named Elizabeth O'Donnell who started teaching kids to ice skate. When she started teaching them, she was teaching the better skaters, the creme de la creme. She got bored with that after a couple of years, so she tried something new. She decided she was going to start teaching blind children how to skate. And it really caught on to the point where some of the other ice skating teachers joined in. And they are now known as the Gliding Stars, and she has helped over 15 15,000 young, handicapped, and disabled children learn how to skate and appreciate the lives that they have. And they put on a show every year. It gives them the opportunity to shine in front of an audience, where otherwise, if somebody like Elizabeth hadn't taken the time with them, they'd probably be at home, cowering in a corner somewhere, feeling unappreciated. But she thought so much about others that she took care of these children and helped them to build self-esteem. Jesus tells us no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. It's a new outward focus, a new set of values, a new family. So what about your second birth? When you were born again, did it completely change your life? If you haven't gotten there yet, it will change your life when you release yourself to Christ and let Him fill your heart with joy and love. Amen.